just like to say that we were away for a little while, and it's a great thing to come back and to see all our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so it's lovely to come back to Blaisdell. Well, you know, when you have to speak, what are you going to speak about? And sometimes if they tell you the topic, that's worse than if you have to try and dig one up. So, anyhow, my thoughts tonight are going to be an encouragement to us all, hope to be anyhow. And if you haven't been doing this, what I'm going to talk about, then it's be a good thing for you to start. Let's turn in our Bibles to Exodus 12. And we all know the story. It's where the children of Israel left Egypt, and all the firstborn were killed that didn't have the blood over the side posts and lintels of the door. But everybody that was inside the house was safe, was covered with the blood. And this is what it says in verse 13, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the house where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial." And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. Well, then you turn over the page a little bit to chapter 13, and in here it's about the firstborn son opening the womb. And when that happened, the children of Israel were supposed to take a lamb and sacrifice it in place of that person, or the firstborn of an animal. And if they didn't want to do it for an animal, then the neck of the animal had to be broken. And this is what it says in verse 8. "And thou shalt show thy sons in that day, saying, This is done because of that which the Lord did unto us, unto me, when I came forth out of Egypt. And it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thy hand, and for a memorial between thy eyes." And then, tonight I want to talk a little bit about memorial. I'm sure you've gathered that already. And, you know, we have different memorials around. We have the Lincoln Memorial, and back in the Second World War, we had a memorial right here in Blaisdell with all the names of the boys that were in the service and those that got killed, that we might have freedom. And a memorial is something that reminds you and I of either something that has happened in our life or something that should happen, but it's something that reminds us of this thing. And the Lord knew that human beings were very forgetful. And so right off the bat, he says that this thing that I did for you coming out of Egypt, I want it to be something that is before you at all times. So they had the Passover every year so they wouldn't forget. And you know, you and I need to have memorials in our life, so that it reminds us, because we're very forgetful. Even the young people are forgetful. Not only are the old people like me and my brother Larry, but we all forget. And the Lord saw that it was very necessary to have a memorial. And you know, then you can go on and you come down into the New Testament, and the Lord Jesus Christ, just before he was going to die upon the cross for your sins and my sins and all the sins of the world, for whosoever believes on him, he said to the disciples to go to the upper room and set up for the Passover feast, which was a memorial feast for the time when he delivered them out of the land of Egypt. And so he was going to deliver in a short while all those who will ever put their faith and trust in him. Because if you haven't done that, you're condemned already. It tells us in John that if you haven't believed, you're condemned already to a lost eternity without God and with pain and punishment and darkness. And so in that, when the Passover, they prepared the Passover, and you know, he instituted the Lord's Supper, which we remember every Sunday morning here. And that's a memorial feast, a remembrance and a memorial feast. Well, you know, we've got to have a little something. I want to talk about the two memorials. And they're found in Joshua. Now, I dug this old drawing out of the archives. And for you, those that didn't know me, I used to go around to the churches and different places and speak and draw chalk drawings. And so when I had to speak, I thought of this, and I yanked it out of the big fat pack that I had. And about 27 years ago, I came up with this at a United Methodist Church. Now, I didn't know about how they stood or anything. I knew they were interested in living good and they believed in God and whatnot, but did they believe in salvation? And so, you see here, the children of Israel, let's turn to Joshua. I guess we got Deuteronomy, Joshua, and in the fourth chapter talks about the two memorials. And as the children of Israel were supposed to be going across the Jordan River, and Joshua told them to get prepared, and he picked out 12 men out of each of the tribes of, I'd appreciate it if the young people would pay attention. I'm sorry. They picked out 12 men out of the one from each tribe, which was supposed to get a stone and put it on his shoulders and carry it across Jordan and pile it up on the other side over yonder there. And Joshua, he piled up 12 stones in the middle of Jordan. And you know, God told Joshua that the Ark of the Covenant, they should bear it and go there, and he would divide the waters. He would pile them up in a heap, the waters coming down from the waters that were there. And, you know, the priests got the Ark on their shoulders, and they started towards the Jordan River.
And, you know, it wasn't until they put their foot in the water that the Lord drove the waters back into a big heap, while all of the Israelites went across. It says they went across on dry land. And you know, in Joshua 4 and verse 6, it says, let's start at 5. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulders, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, and that when your children ask their fathers in times to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? And you know, children of Israel were going over the Jordan River, and they had a new job to do. There the city of Jericho was, with fall. And by faith, they had to step into the Jordan. And by faith, they had to go on to conquer the land. It says wherever they trod, that they would have for their possession. And you know, it's good that people ask us, what does this mean? You know, it's good to have this in our life. And I want to, there was a little fella, and he went to church with his grandfather, and he was an inquisitive little fella, and he wanted to know, what does this mean, Grandpa? And Grandpa would quietly tell him, you know, you're going to take up the offering now, and so on. He was always questioning him. And the minister got up, and he got up the pulpit, and he took off his watch, and he set it down beside him, and the little boy says, what's that mean? Oh, he says, I sat through a lot of services that lasted a lot longer. That doesn't mean anything, son. So, you know, what I'm saying is that we want to have things that mean something. We don't want to be going through and doing things that people can't believe. And so, you know, we all, the Jordan River, it speaks of death, and you know, it's not a very clean river. And there's a pile of stones that we need in our lives to be covered up. And you know, God forgives us for our past faults and failures, and God covers them up. He says he remembers our sins no more. He puts our sins as far as the east is from the west. So far has he removed your transgression. And yes, dear friend, you need a pile of stones that are a memorial that you need to cover up. And also, you need a pile that they brought over onto the other side to show forth that their children, and whoever comes must say, how come? What about all these stones? What are they for? And they could tell them how a great deliverance God gave them that day by holding up the Jordan River. And you know, the Jordan, it speaks of death. And the Lord Jesus has taken all the judgment for us. And It's a complete, the believer's complete salvation. They went to the other side on dry land. And you know, we need to have these stones. We need to start piling them in our lives. Some of us have been piling some of them for a long time. And I want to encourage you, it's a good thing. And you know, people will ask about this. You know, my neighbor, I play golf with him, and sometimes he wants to play on Thursday. Well, I go to meeting on Thursday, so I can't play, you know. And he don't really ask too many questions about that, but he knows I go to meeting, you know. And we need to have stones in our life like this that show forth. Now, he don't ask very often that. I go golfing with him every Monday night. So, you know, that's... other things, you know, in our lives, you know, I have new tenants come in, and I go to them, and right away, how about you want to drink a beer, Don, you know? And, you know, I don't just say, no thank you, or something. You know, right off the bat, I say, no thank you, I don't drink beer. Thank you very much. You know, well, you know, the next time I go around there to their house and I'm doing something in there, how about a drink of pop, Don, or something, you know? They don't ask me again. And you know, young people, when you get tempted by doing something that you're not, know you're not supposed to, don't just pass it off lightly. You want to pile a stone up there, big, so that your friends know about it. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I go to church Sunday morning, not to the ball game or something else. I go to worship the Lord. That's another big stone. So, we want to have some stones that we bury. There's things I've done in my life that I might like to forget about. And the Lord forgave me, so I need to try and forget about them too. So thinking about that, you know, we're all leaders, from the oldest to the youngest. We all need to have a testimony. We all need to have some stones that show forth in our life, whether we're 70 years old or we're only 15 or even 12, you know. We need to have these memorials in our life. And one of the stones, we have to be born again. We have to have salvation. That's one of the principal ones. And in 1 Peter 3:23, we read this. And being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And that's how we're born again, by the incorruptible seed of the word of God. God shed his blood that we might have salvation. And that's one of the stones that we should show forth to others. You need to tell your friends and your associates and your schoolmates, you know, I'm a born-again Christian. Oh, what's that mean? You know, and right then you have an opportunity to explain to them, you know. And not always, but sometimes. And so we need a stone of salvation. And And one to cover up in that same aspect is the old person. It tells us that when we're born again, we're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Yes, we need to cover up the old life, forget about it, and we need to press on. And another stone that we need is baptism. You know, the Lord asked us to be baptized, and David was speaking about it, you know, and he wants us to do that as a memorial, as a testimony. And in Romans 6:4 it says, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. And you know, we're a new creature when we're saved, and when we follow the Lord in baptism, we should seek to walk in newness of life. The old man has died. The old life has gone. Now, some people get saved later in life, and some early in life, and some can look back on maybe a not so good life, a bad life of sin and different things, but others are saved early in life. But we, the old life, the old man, we have to put to death day by day. And as an encouragement, we need to seek to do that. And you know, he's always sticking his head up and getting in the way. So we need to realize that, like as Christ was raised from the dead, we too are raised in newness of life because we trusted him and we seek to follow him in the waters of baptism. And you know, some other stones that we should have is the stone of prayer. And you know, we need to be thankful for our food, for others, and for lost souls. We need to pray for them. And you know, if a mother is praying for her kids, you know, the kids know that, family, and you mothers need to be praying for your children. Even after they get old, you know, they need your prayers. And so we all need to pray for one another. It tells us that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. You know, and we need to have a stone, and that people see us giving thanks for our food, and it's nothing to be ashamed of, you know, and need to know that we go to the prayer meeting. And so we need a stone of prayer, and so that they can ask, how come, you know, how come? And does that mean anything? And then, you know, we have to have a life that backs it up. The old self, when we pray for others, you know, when we're not saved, this is number one, you know. And this is the one that we're always interested in taking care of. But you know, when we are born again Christian and we having a stones of memorial, we need some that are praying for others. How come you're so interested in this other person, you know? And we need to have things like that in our life. And the old self is buried in the River Jordan, the river of death. And then there's a stone of the prayer meeting, going to the prayer meeting, a good place to be in the middle of the week. And it's good that we have this, you have this attitude, and we should all have this attitude. Young people should have this attitude. That's the place to be. You know, when Blair and I were out working on a job and we were all dirty, and I used to have a beard, and I would come home and there would be icicles on my beard, and there would be dirt behind my ears and all over. And you know, I didn't just say, well, now, Marge, shall we go to prayer meeting or not? Who's speaking? You know, no, we need a stone in your life that's where you're going to be in the middle of the week, in God's house, where prayers want to be made. And you know why I have that idea, that in my life? Because my father and my mother had that before me. And you know, we didn't come home from school and say, hey, Mom, are we going to prayer meeting tonight? No, there was no question. Dad come home and bang, go into the shower and, you know, got it all off him. And you know, and we all went to prayer meeting because that was the place to be. And that was a stone in his life. And we didn't have to say, what's that mean, you know? No, that was a good place to be. So we need to have stones in our life like that are a help to our children, to our neighbors. And you know, the stones that we can bury up, in contrast to that, is the old places that we might have went on Thursday night, as when we weren't saved, when we didn't love the Lord maybe as much. So we need to bury that stone, the stone of old places. In reading God's Word, you need to read God's Word. And I hope this is an encouragement to you that it doesn't make no difference. Some are good readers and some are bad readers. Or you like to read or you don't like to read. But you need to read it a little bit each day. Now, I'm one of them fellas that is not a very good reader. I don't like to read. I really don't like to study. But you know, down through the years, I've read a little bit every morning before I do anything. I get up and I sit down at the breakfast table and my Bible is right there and I read a short little verse. And you know, years before I go out to the restaurant, and years after year after year of reading these short has put God's Word into my mind, into my heart. And you know, it says, hide God's Word in your heart. That's what the psalmist David said. We should hide God's Word in our heart that we might not sin against Him. And you know, so even if the reading that they say to read was too long, I would read a part of it. You know, don't labor with it, and then hide it in your mind and heart, and God will bless you. So we need to read God's Word. And if you're a good reader, read a lot of it. The more you read, the better. But you need to know what's in there as well. And so we could say reading God's word is a good stone to show forth. And another one is some of the bad books that we might read, we could bury and put out of our life and our our habits. And another thing is good habits. And you know, there's bad habits and good habits. And we need to have good habits as Christians and have a habit of stone. And how come you do this, Ma? Or how come you do this, Dad? You know, and we need to have that for our children. And then we need to have that also for the neighbors and for the work associates, for our school associates or our golf associates, you know. So it's good to have good habits. And, you know, if you have good habits of reading and you carry your Bible to church and you maybe have a tract in your pocket that you can hand out when it's a convenient time, you know, it's always good to have a tract around. And, you know, for me, when I was out on a job, it was hard to have a tract in decent shape that you could hand out because it was always crunkled in your pocket or something, you know. But if you work hard enough at it, you can have a decent one to hand out at the proper time, and it's good to hand out. And that's the way we can be a witness for the Lord. And remembering is another good stone to have. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, do this in remembrance of me till I come. And that's a memorial service that he instituted at the Passover. And he said, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. And you know, dear fellow Christians, the Lord on Sunday morning is here and he desires to eat and he's with us, and he desires to have us remember him in all that he has done for us and is going to do us. And you know, some of our things that we could bury is our old worship, you know. Now, you know, the Lord says, remember me, and remembrance and memorials bring along worship. Because someone has done something for us or helped us. And, you know, sometimes as unsaved, we worship the wrong things, you know. So we need to worship the Lord. And we need to have a loving spirit. You know, Christians were known by their love. And, you know, you can you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. And you know, if you love the Lord, you can't help but give to others. You can't help but help others. And in that same aspect, in the negative, you know, we can bury the old self, you know, the old spirit, the old selfish spirit, that we want everything for our own self, our own desires, our own magnification, our own raising ourselves up higher than everybody. And we should have a stone, a loving spirit. And and then we should have a talks in Peter about addition. And it tells us that we should add to our faith knowledge, and to knowledge virtue, and to godliness, and to brotherly kindness. And so we should have a stone that is adding these things to our Christian life, to our Christian walk, day by day. And you know, we used to live the old life, and you know, the things in the old life didn't add up. They didn't add up. They were just a big jumble of selfish things that we did for our own good self-will and self-pleasure. And then service, you know, we need to serve the Lord. You know, you don't have to be eloquent to serve. Let's look at Romans 12:11. Right while I'm here, I can't take too much. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And we all need to seek to serve the Lord in some aspect. Now, you know, maybe it's nothing showing or anything, but just some little thing that you do that helps out in the church or in the group, your young people's group or something. But we need to seek to serve the Lord, to have a stone of service in our life. For others and for the Lord. And another stone is a forgetting. Paul says, forgetting those things that are behind. We need to have that stone in our lives so that doesn't hinder our Christian growth. You know, oh, I really did a bad job there. You know, and all you can remember is the bad job you did. Instead of forgetting that, and he says he pressed on towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And you know, as we have these stones of remembrance, the Lord Jesus Christ forgives us our sins. If you don't know him as your Savior, if you've never been washed in the blood, it says there's a crimson flow that comes from Calvary, the washing of God's blood in our heart and in our souls by asking him to come in and be our Savior and forgive us our sins. If you haven't ever did that, that's the first start in building a memorial of your life. And, you know, as the children of Israel was going to go over this here Jordan River into battle, and Joshua says to them, he says, you haven't gone this way before. This is something new. You haven't gone this way before. And you know, some of us in our life and in our service seem to be maybe going round and round and round and round, you know. But Joshua told them they hadn't gone this way before. Life is a one-way street for us, you know. I can't go back 25 years. Whatever happened back there, that was it. The only thing that I can do is now, from now on, seek to love the Lord and seek to serve Him and try to be a witness, try to have a memorial that people will say, how come, Don, you do that? You know? Then you can testify to them. And we all need to have two memorials in our life. One that we show forth and one that we cover up. Yes, may God help us, as we have been having memorials in our life, to make them greater and to make them more outstanding for Him and for His glory. May God help us as believers, as blood-bought children of His. You know, we're sons and daughters of the Lord God Almighty. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And in Ephesians, it talks about being in the Beloved. And we're in the Beloved family of the Father in heaven. And may God help us to live that life. And may God help us to build memorials in our life that are worthwhile and that are a testimony to those around us. Shall we pray?